glad to be here on this beautiful day. Amen. It is such a beautiful day. I woke up and looked out the window and saw the sun shining, and it was just a little bit foggy at our house this morning. And some of you think I'm a little bit foggy all the time, but looked. Thank you, Eugene. And I couldn't help but think it had to be a morning like this when Jesus was raised from the dead. And we rejoice this morning in the opportunity to worship with you. And we rejoice this morning for the opportunity to worship with those who are joining us on Facebook this morning. We hope that today is a very special day as we worship the Lord together. Let me give you just a few announcements, and then we're going to move right into to worship and also into the Easter cantata. Be sure and remember, we will not be having services this evening. No small groups, but we will. So enjoy the day with your family. Church board meeting will be tomorrow evening in the conference room at 6:30. Board members, be sure and pick up your packets that are at the sound desk. And the agenda for tomorrow night's meeting will be emailed to you in the morning. Wednesday night services here at 6 o'clock. Adult Bible study, youth meeting, children's class. Friday, we'll be having prayer time at 9 o'clock. Grief Share will be having their final meeting for this session at 10 o'clock. And so be sure and remember that they'll be starting up another Grief Share session in August. And but if you need information about that, be sure and see Jane Montgomery. Be sure and remember that you can come to the church and walk Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 10 until 11. Next Sunday morning is annual elections here at the church. We do not have absentee ballots, and so you will need to be present to vote in church elections. The polling place will be open from 9 until 10:15, and then for 30 minutes following the morning worship service. We want to say thank you for your faithfulness in giving. We appreciate so much the way that you have blessed the church and with your faithfulness in giving, and we do pray God's blessings on you. We appreciate the Easter lilies that were placed here in honor or in memory of loved ones. And if you purchased one, be sure and come by and pick it up after the service. Please do that. Don't forget. I don't have enough room in my yard for all of these. So be sure and pick up your Easter lilies as you leave this morning. Any other announcements that need to be made? Let's stand as you are able. We're going to sing Christ Arose. My Savior, He tore. give you praise, honor, and glory this morning, Lord, that we can come together as your people to worship you on this very, very special day. We rejoice in the fact that you are our Savior, that you are our risen Savior. And we're grateful, Lord, for all that you're going to accomplish in our hearts and in our lives today as we listen to this ministry through music. And then as your word is proclaimed here in just a few moments, we ask you, Lord, that you would bless in a mighty way. We love you. We thank you. We praise you for this time that we have together to worship you. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Today we'll retell the incredible story of God's plan of redemption. It begins and ends with the matchless love of the Father for the people he created. It winds its way through the tragedy of the first sin in the Garden of Eden and spans the lives of men and women who responded in faith to God's work in their world. It goes by way of Bethlehem and Nazareth and Galilee. It reaches a glorious crescendo at Calvary and a garden tomb. There's only one possible title for this epic true account of how good triumphed over evil and love conquered all. This story is called Jesus Saves. Scripture says that the Lamb who would die to redeem us was slain from the foundation of the world. Yes, the Father's plan was in place from the beginning. Still, there would be centuries of waiting before his arrival. Prophets foretold his coming with words like, "There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore." God had chosen for himself strayed further and further from him, he never gave up on them. The prophets reminded them that their salvation was on the way, saying, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I shall raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness." After 400 years, God's silence was broken by angelic announcements to a priest named Zechariah, a virgin named Mary, and a carpenter named Joseph. The arrival of the promised one was imminent. And then, there he was, God with us, Jesus, born in Bethlehem. He began his ministry when he was 30 years old. He cared for the poor and the outcast. He healed the sick and demonstrated his power over the natural world. He taught the people what the promised kingdom would be like. Yet all of this wasn't the reason he had come to earth. The time for that was at hand. But first, he would be welcomed into the city of Jerusalem as the king he truly was.
Thank you.
was Passover, the night the nation celebrated how God had miraculously freed them from slavery in Egypt. Gathered with his closest friends, Jesus broke the unleavened bread and passed it around, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he offered the cup, saying, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." The bread and the wine would be the way we would commemorate the sacrifice he was about to become. Jesus and the 11 left the room where they had shared the Passover meal and walked to a familiar garden where he often prayed. Judas, the one who betrayed him, had already gone with the master's full knowledge of what he was planning. Jesus did nothing to prevent the plot from unfolding. At every step in the hours to come, he would do nothing but surrender to the Father's will. In the garden, while the disciples slept, he prayed that he wouldn't have to drink the bitter cup of crucifixion. But that would not be the Father's plan. And soon the sound of soldiers and the flames of torches filled Gethsemane. His time had come. He was arrested, bound, and deserted by all his friends. At his first trial, Jesus stood before Annas, who had been the high priest. At the second, it was the high priest Caiaphas who asked him, "Are you the Christ?" Jesus answered, "I am." At his third trial, he was judged by the Sanhedrin. And at his fourth, Pilate asked, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." At his fifth trial, it was the brutal King Herod who questioned him. This man, who had beheaded John the Baptist, accused him and berated him and mocked him, but Jesus never spoke a word. Herod sent him back to Pilate. And at his sixth trial of the night, Pilate was pressured into a decision. Though he knew Jesus was guilty of nothing, Pilate gave in to the shouts of the mob who cried, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" and passed sentence. Jesus was physically and emotionally exhausted. He endured a brutal Roman scourging and a mock coronation at the hands of the cruel soldiers. Morning had come. He had prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." Now God's will was unfolding. The lamb was ready for sacrifice. The altar waited on Golgotha. The cross was prepared. There has never been a scene in history like Calvary. Artists have attempted to paint it. Sculptors have tried to give it form. Songwriters have memorialized it, and preachers have delivered its message. Yet the love demonstrated there defies description. The mercy cannot be captured, and the grace is too great to be absorbed. It's more than we can take in. And yet we never stop trying, because the cross and what Jesus did for us there means everything.
King, leave his throne and his crown to come to earth as a stranger. And why would he leave the city of heaven in exchange?
Are we loved by a God of mercy and forgiveness? Is there a Savior who has made salvation possible? Calvary answers a resounding yes. Yet so many reject the sacrifice of God's only begotten Son. Still, He never stops reaching out to them, because God knows just how desperately people need Him. Jesus died and was buried. The crowd at Golgotha left. The disciples hid. His followers mourned. The Jewish leaders sighed with relief. And Jerusalem went back to normal. Then Sunday dawned. An angel rolled back the stone at the tomb so the world could see that it was empty. The angel said to the women who came to anoint his body, "You're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen just as he said." This happened over 2,000 years ago, and yet that single event has changed history and the lives of countless souls around the world. We read of Bethlehem, follow his life on earth, hear his words, witness his death on the cross, and we believe in his resurrection. The drumbeat of truth becomes the heartbeat of our lives. It begins as a whisper and rises to a thundering roar. Jesus saves! Jesus saves! Jesus saves!
Praise him. Praise his name. Let's stand as you are able and sing. Pastor Tyler let me know about 4:45 this morning that he and his family have a stomach bug. And so here we are. Let's pray for them as we go through the service. In Christ alone, my hope is found.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we are thankful this day, O Lord, that we've come into your house, O God, to worship you. And Father, your people gather. We come, O God, this day to say thank you for giving of yourself to us, O Lord. Upon the cross of Calvary, O God, you died for our sins. Lord, you were buried, and today, Lord, you rose victorious. We are thankful, Lord, for that. Now, Lord, bless this church, I pray. Bless your people. Father, I pray healing upon those this day, O God, who are suffering and hurting. Father, give us love, I pray, that we may share with others the good news of Jesus Christ. In the holy name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen.
Amen. I want to speak to you this morning from Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 10 here in just a moment. We're going to talk about the power to change your life. The power to change your life. The past few weeks, we have been looking at Jesus going to the cross. The cross just wasn't something that was there, something that Jesus just did. Jesus died on the cross in order that he might change your life and that he might change my life. And I want you to see this morning as we look through this message that Jesus did come to change your life. And I believe I can give you five things that he came to change. Last Sunday morning, I only had 2 points. This Sunday morning, I'm making up for it. How about that? Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 1. After the Sabbath, the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Back in April 2001, cartoonist Johnny Hart came under a great deal of criticism for his BC comic strip. Many of you probably remember the BC comic strip. Specifically, for that year, he created a strip for Easter Sunday morning, and it depicted a Jewish menorah. It's going to be on the screen. You may not can read all of it, but it depicted a Jewish menorah being transformed into a Christian cross as Jesus' last words were being stated. It had a tremendously powerful statement, and because of it, a whole lot of people began to protest Johnny Hart, and in fact, his cartoon after this in some newspapers was moved from the comic strip into the religion section. They said that it was because of a lack of respect for the Jewish community. Well, you ask yourself, well, why was that such a big deal? Well, it was a big deal because as Christians, we believe that the Easter, the resurrection of Jesus, is the focal point of history. It is the pivotal point of history. I put on my Facebook page just a moment ago. I checked in so that people would know that I am here in church this morning. And I put on when I checked in, I said, "This is the pivotal day in history." Now, there are a lot of important days, and I'm so glad that Jesus was born. But I want you to understand that had Jesus not been resurrected, everything else that he said would have been a lie, and he would have been just like everybody else. But today is the focal point of history. You basically can put a timeline with the cross in the center of that timeline. And the Bible tells us that every moment from creation on has been leading to the cross as a part of God's plan, and every moment since that point in time, it has been clear that God had fulfilled his plan and was in process of saving those who would come to him. Max Lucado, in his book, No Wonder They Called Him Savior, says the cross, as it rests on the timeline of history like a compelling diamond, its tragedy sums all sufferers, its absurdity attracts all cynics, its hope lures all searchers. History has idolized it and despised it, gold-plated it and burned it, worn and trashed it. History has done everything to it but ignore it. That's the one option that the cross does not offer. No one can ignore it. You can't ignore a piece of lumber that suspends the greatest claim in history. Its bottom line is sobering. If the account is true, it is history's hinge point, period. If not, it is history's hoax. That is why the cross matters. That is why the cross matters. But if you have only the cross, and you still have a tomb that is filled, Jesus was like many other criminals that were crucified. But we do not have just the cross. We have an empty tomb. And because of that, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, and then in verses 3 and 4, he says, I want you to remember the good news, of which this is the most important, that Christ died for our sins, as the Scripture says, that He was buried and was raised to life on the third day, as the Scriptures say. Wow, what a statement. What a thrill. What a joy. And I stood here this morning, and I'd already said it to Susie, and I stood here this morning and I said to you, with Christians of centuries past and Christians all over the world today, I say to you, He is risen. And I am so thankful that I could do that this morning. And it does something in me to be able to proclaim that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Last Sunday morning, I preached about a dead man walking. I had several comments about that title. Incidentally, I know I stole it from a movie, but just y'all be happy and move on, you know. But I talked to you last Sunday morning about what Jesus did in those final hours between the Last Supper and the crucifixion. This morning, I want us to move from the dark hours of that last week and the last day, and move into the light that today we rejoice in. The light that was not only of that first resurrection morning, but the light of what Jesus can do in your life and in my life, if we'll only allow Him to. This morning, I want us to see five things about what Jesus can do in your life. First of all, I want you to know that we believe that because Jesus is alive, you and I can experience hope that removes all of our doubts. You and I can experience hope that removes all of our doubt. I don't know about you, but I look at people today and I really do believe that hope is in short supply today. I suppose it's no wonder with all the things that are going on in our world. I mean, we have just this past couple of weeks ago, we had what happened in Nashville and all the things that are going on in our world. I remember when they told us that the computers were going to solve all of our problems. Right before the service, if you looked, you saw me running back and forth when we had a problem with that television back there. And we finally got it fixed. I'm telling you, computers have not solved our problems. They have created problems. They're all demon-possessed. Everybody tells us that the government is going to solve our problems. Please understand, government never has, never will solve your problems. That was got both sides, okay? You know? If you're placing your hope in technology, if you're placing your hope in government, if you're placing your hope in someone other than Jesus, you will never have your problems solved. You will never have your doubts removed. The one thing that we do have, we don't have a whole lot of hope, but we do have a whole lot of fear and doubt. I mean, the first words that were spoken by the angel on that resurrection morning was, don't be afraid. Isn't that amazing? The first words basically that were spoken by Jesus after He gave the greeting to the women, the first words that were spoken to Jesus was, don't be afraid. I love how the New Living Translation translates Matthew 28, verse 8. The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were frightened, but also filled with great joy. Can I tell you, I think that's an understatement. Can you imagine what they felt? They were scared to death. I mean, they had just seen an angel. But yet the fact of the resurrection filled them with great joy. Thomas, the one that we call Doubting Thomas, had said in John chapter 24, verses 24 and 25, John chapter 20, verses 24 through 25, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." Now, we can call him all kinds of names. But how many of us at some point in time in our life have said, I'm going to have to see it if I'm going to believe it? Thomas wasn't the first one to doubt. And can I tell you something? He won't be the last one to doubt. I've been there. Probably if you were to be honest with me this morning, you would say, I've been there. We have all had those times in which we were filled with fear, those times when we were filled with doubts. And Jesus comes into that room where Thomas is and he says, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." The writer of the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 tells us, "Let us hold firmly to the hope that we have confessed, because we can trust God to do what He promised." Praise His name, folks. If you came to this place this morning and you have all kinds of fear, you have all kinds of doubt, I have good news for you this morning. Our hope and assurance rests in the same source. Our hope rests in a living Lord. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today, the hymn tells us. And that gives us hope that can remove all of our doubts. The second thing that I want you to see this morning is, because Jesus is alive, you and I can experience grace that will forgive our failures. If there were ever a group of people that could have written a book entitled Failures, Flops, and Fumbles, it was the group of people that Jesus chose to spread the gospel. Isn't that amazing? I wouldn't have picked them. I mean, I wouldn't have. I mean, you had those. I mean, Peter, all he did was open his mouth to exchange feet. That was all that he did. You had Thomas that would not believe. Then you had Judas. I mean, you begin to think about it. Here's a group of people that were failures, flops, and fumbles, and yet God chose them to spread the good news that He was alive. You see, I mean, I don't have time to go into all the things that really happened amongst that group. I mean, they were constantly jockeying for position, you know? I mean, go back to Peter one more time. I mean, a servant girl, a little girl, sees him standing there in the firelight, and she said, "This man was with him." And Peter says, "Nope, not me. This big, burly fisherman," at least in my mind's eye, "was afraid of a little girl." Afraid of a little girl. Yet it was this same one who had said, "Even if all fall away, I will not." All of the bluster, all the bravado, all that faded away as he looked across the courtyard and saw a Savior whom he had failed miserably. I'm not going to ask you this morning if you failed. I'm not going to ask you this morning if you've sinned. The reason I'm not going to ask you those questions is because I already know you. Not because anybody came to tell me. But I know you. And I know me. And I also know what the Word of God says, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's nothing we can do about that. Have you ever tried to go back and rectify something that you messed up with someone? I found out a long time ago, people will say they'll forgive you, but somewhere in the back of their mind, there's always that little bit of something that every time they see you, they think about that. And then there's God. We won't even begin to talk about all the ways that we have failed Him. Or would you like to talk about that this morning? How many of you would like to stand up and begin to give a whole list of the things that you've done in your life that you knew you failed God by doing them? I mean, if we were to do that, we would be here until next year at this time and still not be finished. Would we? I mean, I could take a year. You don't like to hear a pastor say that, do you? The reality of it is, it's like I said just a few moments ago, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We have all failed Him. But I've got good news for you. Isn't that good? I have good news for you. Paul tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But Paul also tells us of the graciousness of God and His kindness that He is willing to forgive us. There should have been more than John that just got happy about that. He is willing to forgive us. I mean... This illustration will break down if you take it so far, but grace is kind of like an Etch-a-Sketch. Do you remember the Etch-a-Sketches? I know they have them at Cracker Barrel. You can buy them still. They're not big like they used to be. They're kind of small there, but I saw one the other day as we were standing there to wait. I preached about Cracker Barrel. We didn't go there last Sunday, but I saw them the other day. You create that little image. The kids might be saying, what's an Etch-a-Sketch? You turn the little knobs and this little pivot moves all throughout this screen. And there it is. You have this picture. And I'm just going to tell you that most people have never been able to do anything with an Etch-a-Sketch that was pretty. Have we? I mean, you might be an artist and be able to do that. I never could. I barely could write my name in the thing. And then it looked, oh my goodness, it was a mess. But you turn it over and you shake it. And then you turn it back over and the screen's clear. It's ready to go again. You kind of get to start over with a clean slate. And like I said, I understand that this illustration, it would break down at some point in time. But I want you to understand that you and I have the opportunity to start over because of what Jesus did on the cross. Because Jesus is alive. You and I can experience the amazing grace that God gives. Grace that removes our sin and our guilt. And oh, don't we need the sin and the guilt of our lives removed and our lives restored so that we can serve Him? You see, because Jesus is alive, we have hope that removes our doubts. We have grace that forgives our failures. We have courage that will conquer our fears. I mean, fear is one of those things that many of us live with on a daily basis. We have health fears and financial fears, and most of us could name something this morning. Probably someone in this room is dealing with fear like they can't even begin to tell anybody about it. We're not the first to deal with fear. I mean, the Bible shows us over and over the fears of those whose lives are contained in the Bible itself. I mean, John chapter 20 verse 19 tells us that when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. And into that fear-filled room, it goes on to say that Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After this, He showed them His hands and His side. And listen to what it says then. And the disciples were overjoyed because they saw the Lord. Can I tell you the truth about something? I've just about got where I don't watch the news anymore. I mean, that daily dose of depression I don't need. You could have laughed at that. It would have been okay. You know? And you watch it, and I'm telling you, fear just seems to dominate it. And after you watch it, fear dominates our lives. And I believe, based on what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that fear was a major issue in the life of Timothy. Here was somebody that had been with Paul. Someone who had walked with Paul, someone who had heard Paul, and Timothy needed courage that would conquer his fears. You and I need courage that will conquer the fears of our lives. We're going to talk about it here in just a moment. But Jesus has conquered the ultimate fear that we have. And we sang it just a moment ago, because He lives, we can face tomorrow. It doesn't matter what is in tomorrow. We can face tomorrow because He lives. But because Jesus is alive, we can experience a purpose that replaces our emptiness. There are a whole lot of people in our world, maybe even some in this room, that are wondering, what in the world am I here for? What in the world am I supposed to do? Too many people are living without purpose. Too many people are walking around empty. God never intended for that to be the case. Because sin happened, we lost our purpose. And Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, in the New Living Translation, we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. If you're walking through life, if you're going through life and you feel like you don't have a reason, I want to tell you, Jesus can give you a reason. Jesus can give you a purpose. Jesus has a plan for your life. He wants you to find that plan. He wants you to live out that plan. And because Jesus is alive, we can have a purpose that replaces our emptiness. And then the last one. Because Jesus is alive, you and I can experience life that overcomes death. Death has always been our ultimate enemy. I mean, from the time that man sinned in the garden, we have faced death. Every time that we do grief share, it's 13 weeks. And every time next to the last session of grief share, the session is about heaven. And Jane asks me in those times, she says, Pastor, I want you to come in to answer all their questions. Jane has a higher opinion of me than she should. Can I tell you, I absolutely love going into those grief share sessions and talking with those people who are there. The reason I like to talk to them is not because I enjoy death, okay? The reason that I enjoy talking to them about what they've gone through and all those kind of things is because I've been through it. I've told you before that Pastor Cindy had in Baton Rouge had started this, and she had gone through one session, and I had told her, I said, now Cindy, I want you to understand that you can go ahead with that, but I don't need it. I'm okay, and you go ahead and do it. And then Pastor Cindy got up to change a clock in the Family Life Center. It was up on a catwalk up above our gym. And as she was going up to get into that catwalk, she slipped and fell through the ceiling 9 feet onto a concrete floor. And when she did that, she broke her back in 4 places and broke 6 ribs. And she is in the emergency room. I'm not laughing at the fact that she fell, okay? She is in the emergency room. Susie and I are there. And do you know what she has on her mind? Grief share. She says, I guess you're going to have to do grief share. I went into that thing kicking and screaming. I want you to understand that. And the longer I sat there, the more I realized that I really needed to hear what was being said. Because when you lose someone close, a lot of times it's very hard, it's very difficult. And my dad died on Christmas Day. I'd prayed earnestly that he would not die on Christmas Day. Y'all already know how I feel about Christmas. Susie can tell you that before Daddy ever passed away, Christmas was not my thing. And I didn't realize how much I had hurt over that thing. Went into that, and we went through it the whole time. And as I sat with the group this past Friday, one of the ladies in the group said, "Why didn't God answer my prayers?" And I said, "I don't know. I can't answer that. I don't know His plan. But I do understand. I do understand because I prayed earnestly, and my prayers weren't answered, but can I tell you this much?" And she looked at me when I said that. I said, "Can I tell you this much? He still loves you. He still cares about you. He wants you to know that this is not the end." And because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given something special. Because Jesus has been raised from the dead, we have been given a brand new life. And because of that, we have everything to live for, including a future with Him in heaven. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many rooms. I know the King James Version says mansions. You've heard me tell that story before. My Father's house are many rooms, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will return and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And I want you to understand, you may have this idea that, yeah, William, that's great. That's out there somewhere. No, it's not. This starts here and now. Jesus came to give us life eternal, but He came to give us life abundant here and now. And because we have life abundant here and now, it overcomes death. You know, I don't know what it's going to be like. I've heard people say before, you know, "I'm not afraid of dying. I'm just scared of the process." I think that's where all of us are if we know Jesus. We don't understand what's going to happen, but this much we do know. John Wesley said of the early Methodist people, he said, "Our people die well." Do you know what he meant by that? They don't go into it with fear and trembling because they know that to go to sleep on one side is to wake up on the other. And because Jesus was raised from the dead, the Bible tells us that He was the first fruits of those who were raised from the dead. And because Jesus was raised from the dead, we can experience life that overcomes death. Paul asked the question, where is the sting of death? Where is the victory that the grave thought it had? It doesn't have it anymore because Jesus is alive. Conclusion. If Easter, as I said a moment ago, truly is the focal point of history, then we have a choice to make. I mean, we really do. If Easter is the focal point of history, then we either believe in Jesus or we dismiss Him. We either accept His claims or we reject Him. You see, there is no middle ground when it comes to the cross. We either accept who He is and what He has done, or we don't. We can either submit to Him and live daily under His direction and receive the benefits, or we deny Him. You see, we really do have a choice to make. We can't remain neutral. And if that is the case, and I believe it is, And if you've made the choice to follow Jesus, then I want to encourage you to live in light of the resurrection. Don't go around, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen. But God does, and with that I can be satisfied. See? I mean, get into His Word. Talk with Him. Pray and get involved in worship. Get involved in fellowship. Share God's love with those who are around you. Make your life a celebration of all that He has done. Because He's done so much. You see, because Jesus is alive, we experience hope that removes doubt. Because Jesus is alive, we experience grace that forgives our failures. Because Jesus is alive, we have courage that conquers our fears. Because Jesus is alive, we gain a purpose that replaces our emptiness. And because Jesus is alive, we experience life that overcomes death. Because Jesus is alive, we can be too. Praise His name. Lord Jesus, thank You that You were resurrected from the dead. Thank You that You did everything that You promised that You would do to that point. But thank You, Lord Jesus, that You will do everything that You have promised to do in our hearts and in our lives if we'll only trust You. We came this morning, Lord, to celebrate Your resurrection. To celebrate the fact that You are alive. And because You are alive, we have hope and we have grace and we have courage and we have purpose and we have life. There's one here this morning that they don't know You as their personal Savior. I pray that today, even right where they are seated, that they can say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Make me a new person. Give me the life that the pastors talked about this morning. Give me that in my life. And because You are alive, I too will live. Maybe there are some, Father, that maybe they're not where they need to be, or maybe they're not where they want to be with You this morning. Thank You, Lord, that Your Word says that if we confess our sins, You are faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins. You'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we can have a fresh, new start from this point today. And I know of no better day. No better day to make a commitment or to renew a commitment to You than today. What a great day to celebrate Easter, the resurrection, and have our own lives given to us so that we can live not only here and now, but live one day in eternity with You. We give You praise, honor, and glory for what You have done and what You're going to do. And we believe, God, that You want to touch us and help us in ways that nobody else can, in ways that nobody else will. You'll give us hope. You'll give us courage. You'll give us purpose. You'll give us all that we need to live for You because You are alive. And we rejoice in that today. We thank You for all that You have done. We thank You for what You're going to do. We give You praise, honor, and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm so thankful that you were here this morning. I hope the Lord blesses you. Let me tell you, after the service, I'm going to stay up front rather than going out to the foyer. And if you need to talk to somebody this morning, if you need to have somebody pray with you this morning, I'm going to be up here at the front. And Pastor Jack, Pastor Greg, if you guys will come and help us this morning, if you'd like to come and talk with one of us, we'll be up here at the front, and God will help you, and God will do something in your life if you'd like for Him to. Let me pass along one sad note this morning to you. I got a note from Star that her mother passed away about a little after midnight this morning. And we need to be praying for Star and her family and John and Buck as they travel to Florida. And just Star is down there, but we need to be praying for those who are going down there. So be praying for them. If you get a chance, send them a text or just a little note to let them know that you're thinking and praying about them. So glad that you joined us on Facebook this morning. May God bless you. God bless you. I hope you have a great day of celebrating the Lord today. You are dismissed. Amen.